chapter 1. We, of course, are here, as Pastor Shane has already said, and that to give thanks unto our Lord. And it is appropriate for us to consider in the beginning stages of our service to understand the source of our thankfulness. In a world of unrealized expectations, unmet desires, dashed dreams, demolished hopes, realized fears, how can we really actually be thankful? The Apostle Paul, as he writes the book of Ephesians, is in prison. And this is a man who, in the midst of prison, begins this glorious epistle in the third verse with this statement. He says, verse 3, "Blessed be the Father of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Why is it that we can give thanks during times of struggle and difficulty, during times of unrest, during times of trouble? We can give thanks because we are blessed of God, as the people of God. And Paul begins by, in this verse, blessing God. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's interesting, we understand clearly what it means when God blesses us. God, in his purposefulness and his providence, chooses to meet our needs. But unlike us, God has no needs. God is completely self-sufficient. So when we bless him, we do it in a response to his blessings to us. It is a response. He is purposeful in his blessing. We respond, and you might call that response thankfulness. It is not only with our lips that we ought to be thankful. It is with our behavior that we ought to be thankful. And our thoughts should continually be thankful as well. Why? Because God is the benevolent God who is a God of great blessing, who blesses us. In this passage, we actually find the role of the Father, then the role of Christ, and the role of the Holy Spirit, all in chapter 1. In verses 1 through 6, we find the role of the Father. In verses 7 through 12, the role of Christ. And verses 13 through 14, we have the role of the Holy Spirit. And of course, they all work together, but there is, in the economic trinity, there is various roles. And so you have with the Father, he is the great planner. And it is because of his plan that we can know that we can be blessed of him. Christ is the executor of the plan. And the Spirit of God is the applier of the plan. And in this context, we're talking of the great salvation that God offers to those who will accept it by faith, to whom he chooses, by the good pleasure of his will. It is the Father who plans this out. We see the same exact kind of thing in creation, where the Father plans creation. Christ executes that plan, according to John 1 and other places. And the Spirit of God applies the plan of creation. And so it is appropriate for us when we come to him in prayer, for example, we come to the Father, Christ, in the Lord's Prayer. And the example prayer to us says, "Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He begins his prayer that way. And if you look many times when we see the benevolent blessing of God depicted in the New Testament, often there is a mention of the Father in context with that. And I don't have the time to go through all of those, of course, tonight. I have 10 minutes. But there are plenty of places like that. With that in mind, though, I do want us to turn to the emphasis in verse 3, which is actually on the kind of gifts that are given. You can learn a lot about a person by the kinds of gift they give. Are they generous or are they stingy? Are they thoughtful or are they careless? Are they grateful or are they ungrateful? Are they selfish or are they unselfish? I mean, there's a lot of things that you can learn about someone in the gifts that they give. And we can learn about the great God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can learn about him in a great way by looking at these gifts. It begins by telling us that of the kind of gifts that he gives us, he says that we have their every spiritual blessing. The blessings are spiritual in nature. When we think of spiritual, sometimes we think of it in contrast with physical or material. But I would suggest to you that that is not necessarily what he is saying here. In the context, of course, we find in this passage, this is talking primarily about our salvation, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing, could include other things as well. And just because we have the word spiritual here, does not necessarily mean it is opposite of material. For example, you'll find in Scripture it says that the law is spiritual, but there is a physical component to the law. The law was written on stone. Or you have spiritual gifts, but of course those spiritual gifts are manifested in physical ways sometimes. Throughout Scripture, you find spiritual there, but it's sometimes contrasted in another way. With that in mind, I'd like you to take your Bibles for just a moment and turn to the book of James for a moment. James chapter 1. James, who tends to be in his wording a little bit more practical, not to diminish Paul's writings at all, of course, we find that in James chapter 1, it says the following here in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Now, I have a question here. When it says every good and perfect gift comes from above, why does it say in the very previous verse and just before it, be not deceived? Why would there be that admonition and then he says every good and perfect gift comes from above? Well, to answer that question, you would have to go further back in the passage. And you would find in the passage, in the context, that it's actually referring to temptation. And there is that possibility in our lives that we are tempted. And when we are tempted, when every man is tempted, it says we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. It is contrasting spiritual blessing, or in the way he puts it here, every good and perfect gift, with those kinds of things that would be pursued by us. Things that would not be coming from the benevolent hand of God. Things that would be of our own desires, of our own lusts, of our own pleasures, that would not be according to the will of God. And so we contrast this idea. And so when we think of spiritual gifts, we ought to think of those kinds of gifts that come from the hand of God, that come from Him and are according to His will. Not our will, but God's be done. When we think of this concept of spiritual gifts, many of our minds might go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so it might be said this way. If there is truly a need as God sees it, He will supply it. And if He does not supply it, then it is not truly a need. God gives and meets the needs of His children, the needs that He sees are needed to be met. And we must look to His will for the spiritual blessings, which may come in other forms, certainly in the context of Ephesians 1, we're talking about salvation, but all of the benevolent blessings of God that come through creation, that come as a result of our salvation, those are all, if they are supplied by God, are in a sense spiritual blessings. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in heavenly places. What is he talking about there? Well, in chapter 1, in that same chapter, we find this term heavenly places mentioned. Actually, throughout the book of Ephesians, you'll find that term mentioned several times. And when we're thinking about that particular term, The best way to think of it is in terms of, again, the source from which it comes, the blessing comes. It is not earthly blessings which will fade away. The blessings that God gives are blessings that have eternal benefits. The blessings that God gives are those that will not easily fade away. They are ones that are stable. They are ones that are foundational. And finally, it says in Christ. And of course, we've already mentioned that Christ, it is through Christ that we have all of the spiritual blessings that we have. It is entirely because of him that we have any blessings at all. We, of course, in our own lives, in our own hearts, are deceitful and desperately wicked. We deserve eternal separation from the Father. And yet through Christ, we are given the great plan of God, the blessings of God in our lives. Why can we be full of thanksgiving? We can be full of thanksgiving because God is the God who supplies blessings. And we ought to respond in gratefulness. Paul does this many times, but I just wanted to read one passage in Colossians chapter 1 where he says this: "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you," verse 11, "strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of his saints in light." May it be said of us tonight, those of us who know the Lord as our Savior and Lord of our lives, that we are full of thanksgiving.